Welcome back to the IWA's podcast series, Wales, a Work in Progress, which seeks to examine and inform the ongoing debate around Wales' constitutional and democratic future. The IWA's policy project on Wales' constitutional future is supported by the Legal Education Foundation, and I'm Joe Rossiter, co-director of the IWA, and I manage the project. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by two leading academics from Bangor University, Dr. Ed Jones and Dr. Rhys ap Gwilym, who are both senior lecturers in economics at Bangor University, and they've got their fingers in all sorts of pies around economy and taxation in Wales. So, Croes and welcome both. Yeah. Now, you both have a wealth of knowledge around Wales' economy and its challenges and its opportunities. But today we're going to try and zoom into focusing on taxation in Wales, how it works, is the system working effectively or not, and how might we seek to change it, all with a kind of sphere of influence around devolution and powers, control and levers, basically. So I want to start off with a broad question on, are you able to take me through the journey of devolution and taxation in Wales? It's an ever-evolving journey, isn't it?
Yeah, you say evolving, I'd say a bit more stop-start than that. So real change happened with the Wales Act 2014 and then subsequently the Wales Act 2017, but not a lot happened in the first 15 years of devolution. And since the Wales Act 2017, there's been implementation going on, but maybe, you know, not much particularly new, really. So even if we go back to 1999, there were actually some powers over taxation. So at the time, you know, whatever it was, the executive of the Welsh Assembly at the time, because there wasn't a separate Welsh government, inherited the powers of the old Secretary of State for Wales, and so had some powers around administering council tax and non-domestic rates. And so, for example, probably the big thing that you can point out that was different in Wales to Scotland or England in those first 15 years was that we had a revaluation of council tax in 2003. In England and Scotland, they still haven't had one since council tax was first introduced in 1991. So, but that was probably, that's probably the only thing you can really point to in terms of differences between taxes in Wales and England in those first 15 years. So Wales Act 2014 then, I guess there were four main aspects of that. Firstly, full powers over local taxes, so over council tax and non-domestic rates, or business rates as lots of people call them, were devolved. And so from April 2015, for example, since then Welsh Government has set the multiplier for NDRs. And really, I think it's fair to say, yeah, that full powers over those taxes are now completely devolved. There were two other areas of taxation that were devolved. So stamp duty and landfill tax were both devolved as part of that Wales Act 2014. And they've been replaced by Welsh taxes, which have been levied since April 2018, so that's the land transaction tax and the landfill disposals tax. So some differences in details, but essentially, you know, not that different to what they replaced in stamp duty and landfill. That act also gave the Welsh Government powers to introduce new taxes, but, and it's a big but, subject to approval from Westminster, and in particular approval from the UK Treasury. The fourth aspect of the Wales Act 2014 was that it opened up the possibility of devolving some aspects of income tax, but subject to a referendum. Now, we know that that has happened, and it was then the Wales Act 2017, which came very quickly off, you know, followed quickly on the heels. So, 2017 basically got rid of the need for that referendum. And the other thing that 2017 did was introduce the legislation that allowed the Welsh Government to set up the WRA, the Welsh Revenue Authority. So all that stuff happened in 2014, 2017, and then really since then, I'd say it's more been about, you know, implementing those changes, but there's not really been any significant change since then.
Yeah, it has been that stop start really, hasn't it? It's not been a continuous free-flowing journey. But you know, what's been interesting thinking about the powers that have come from Westminster with this, and it has, I think it's fair to say the majority of the powers that have been given in this area has come from the Conservative government at that time, where, you know, if you were to ask which political party did devolve these powers to Wales, maybe it wouldn't be the Conservative government that would naturally come to mind. Now, I know with the Silk Commission, there were pressure there from the Lib Dems, but you know, there is a party that we need to be thankful for that has devolved these powers.
Yeah, it's an interesting political consideration, isn't it? You know, saying we believe that this is in the best interest of the tax base in Wales, I guess.
Yeah, well, I suppose they're coming from an angle, look, if you're going to be spending this money, then you have to take some accountability for collecting it as well. And, you know, you need to be thinking about what you're going to be doing here. So I don't think it's been kind of this nice gift that's been given. There has been some thought, look, this responsibility with this has come as well. And but, you know, the question we have to ask ourselves then is, we've been given these devolved powers, have we made the most out of them, given that, you know, it's talking quite a few years now, have we made the most of them to ensure we, you know, that we get the best possible amount out of our taxes.
And you say that, and Rhys, you spoke about this as well, in terms of those tax varying powers, you spoke about how Wales has the ability to deviate income tax rates by 10% either way, so 10% higher or lower. Welsh Government have never utilised this. I know that as we speak, Mark Drakeford has been speaking in the Senedd and saying that potentially for this, the next Welsh Government budget, they may have to look at that, but it would take an extraordinary pressure on their budget for them to do so. Can you talk me through why this is the case? You know, I think a lot of people looking in will say, you know, you can't complain about the what you've got in tax income if you've got these powers and you've yet to utilise them. Can you talk to me about, you know, why that's the case? It comes down to some extent to tax bans, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I think, first up, this is very real power. The powers that Welsh Government currently has over income tax is that it can vary each of the, so there are three rates, basic rate, a higher rate, and an additional rate. The Welsh Government has the power to vary the rate of any of those three bands. It can reduce by up to 10 pence in the pound and increase by as much as it wants. So it is very real power, and in particular changing the basic rate would have real substantial implications in terms of tax revenues for the Welsh Government. So that's the first thing to say. But if you did want to defend the position of the Welsh Government and say, well, you know, they haven't used these powers since, you know, since they came down from Westminster you know, 5 years ago. If you wanted to defend that position, I guess you'd say, well, similar powers were devolved to Scotland from the very start of the devolution process in 1999. They were a bit different. They could only vary by plus or minus 3 pence. But they were similarly structured in terms of all you could do was change a rate and not the thresholds.
Yeah.
And neither Labour governments, Labour Lib Dem coalitions, or SNP governments in Scotland chose to use those powers. I guess, you know, what people would say is that if you have the same thresholds and change rates, well then it's very clear what the differences are, and there are real worries about, you know, what impact that has on people moving between jurisdictions. You know, that I think is the argument.
Yeah, and there's no clear answer to what the impact any changes would have on those movements. You know, we can all estimate what they would be, but I don't think anybody's come up with an exact answer. And the issue, I think the issue we have here in Wales compared with Scotland, if you think about where the border is in Scotland,
mm-hmm.
you know, how many people live on either side of that border, where in Wales, I'm thinking of places like Flintshire or Wrexham, that area, where the border, you could easily switch sides, you know, without having much of an impact on your life. And I don't know if it leads to this nervousness that maybe the Welsh Government has of actually moving the dial and not being 100% certain mm-hmm. of the potential impact that it could have.
Yeah, that's interesting. And as you say, you know, Rhys, you kind of spoke to this, but saying if you're looking to make revenue, which is why you would try and, you know, alter these the tax rate, really, when you're looking at the Welsh tax base, the only meaningful way of doing that when it comes to income tax is by going after the basic income rate, isn't it? Rather than the higher and additional, of which in the Welsh tax base it's not likely to be a huge number of people. Am I right in that?
Yeah, so I think, if I remember off the top of my head, I think the number for of additional rate taxpayers in Wales is something like 9,000.
Wow.
Yeah. That might be a couple of years out of date now. And with thresholds having been frozen, it might have gone up a little bit, but it's in the thousands, not the tens of thousands. Mm-hmm. So if you went from 45% to 50%, the impact on revenue would be very modest. And even for the higher rate, the changes in revenue would be, you know, relatively modest. It's only really if you change the basic rate that you're increasing or reducing revenues by an amount that has a real fiscal consequence.
And without trying to, you know, put you into any kind of position of certainty of what, if you were looking to change it, then, you know, is it therefore the thresholds and the banding that would need to change to better match a Welsh tax base that is, you know, bottom heavy, or is it that you know, the rates that you would look at in terms of making a bigger difference, or is that too blunt a way of looking at, you know, whether you would like to make changes to the income tax rate?
Well, if you want to raise more revenue mm-hmm. through income tax, the way to do it would be to make the system to less progressive in general.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, the UK government is doing that at the moment, and they're getting, you know, they've had quite a lot of pushback on the fact that they've frozen personal allowance and thresholds for a number of years now. A stark change from the early years of the last Conservative administration, where we saw the personal allowance going up very rapidly. But if you compare the UK to most European nations, income tax in the UK, and because it's the same in Wales as England, income tax in Wales is very progressive at the lower end. So if you wanted to raise a lot more tax revenue through income tax, particularly in Wales, given our income distribution,
it's difficult to do without being regressive, basically.
Without being less progressive than it currently is. That's not necessarily the same as regressive, but less progressive. You know, I guess what I'd say is the caveat is if you want to raise it through income tax, we can think about the other options that might exist other than income tax.
And we'll come on to those, definitely.
You know, when we're talking about the income tax in that way, you know, which political party, despite it being the right thing to do if we wanted to raise more revenue, which political party would introduce such policies? I suspect none, because on the number of votes they would lose. So it leads on to the question, right, what taxes could we change or introduce in Wales in order to raise the revenues that we need to fund our public services?
Well, should we go straight on to that then, really? You both, your work involves looking at taxation in Wales and novel ideas for what potential improvements could be made to the system. So do you want to tell us what you think are good options in terms of raising revenue in a progressive way from the tax system in Wales?
So a lot of what we're trying to do is to look into, get a better understanding of the Welsh tax base. Now, Wales is obviously a peripheral area of the UK. The GDP per capita in Wales is roughly 75% of GDP per capita across the UK. Incomes are relatively low, so that's probably not going to be the most fruitful place to look for revenues. It also might not be the most equitable place. We're seeing more and more of a consensus building that we ought to be across the world looking to tax wealth rather than income. So I think it is worth noting that when we think about devolved taxes and when we include local taxes in that, because essentially council tax and non-domestic rates, obviously local authorities do have some powers, particularly where it comes to council tax, less so with non-domestic rates, but Welsh Government has the ultimate power when it comes to either of those two taxes, and they both are property taxes. Obviously property isn't the only form of wealth. Equally, people might own property without necessarily having a huge amount of wealth. If you own a house but you've got a massive mortgage on it, then your net wealth might not be that high. But again, you know, there's lots of evidence. You know, if you look at the work that the OECD has done on taxation and trying to identify the taxes that provide provide the least impediment to economic growth. What the OECD identify are taxes on immovable property, so taxes on houses, on factories, on infrastructure. And the UK is actually already reasonably reasonably good by international comparisons. We tend to have reasonably high levels of taxes on immovable property, but I think that's somewhere that we could go even further. The problem, of course, is that council tax is such a mess, and so are NDRs, that actually what we probably really need to be talking about is how we reform those local taxes, what we replace those with, and then maybe shift increase the incidence of those taxes rather than increasing taxes on income.
Well, what would you go with? A replacement for council tax?
Well, this is the point at which I go back and refer to the work that we did with the Welsh Government back in 2019, looking into the potential for a land value tax in Wales. Now, land value tax is a really bad name for
this tax. Do you want to kind of break down what a land value tax is for those that don't know?
Go ahead.
So land value tax, first thing to put it, it's not really a tax on land.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not going to hurt farmers. First up.
Main point.
When people like me talk about land, what we really mean is location.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you think about the house that you live in, or the building that you live in, whether you own it or not, if you wanted to buy that property on the market, you'd be paying really for two things. You'd be paying for the bricks and mortar, but you'd also be paying for the location where it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take your average, mid terrace, two up, two down house, the type that you will find in Canton in Cardiff, you'll find it, everywhere in the valleys, you'll find it up in Llanberis where I live. Mm-hmm. They exist everywhere in Wales, built, a century ago, and they're all in, they're all the same in terms of bricks and mortar, more or less.
Yeah.
But what you'll pay for them, if you want to go and buy them on on the market, varies hugely. If you buy a two up, two down in Canton, it's going to cost a lot more than if you buy a very similar house but in Blaenau-Ffestiniog.
Yeah.
So the difference there is the value of location.
Mm-hmm.
And when people talk about land value tax, that's what they're talking about, a tax on the location value.
Okay.
And there's lots of really good economic reasons why we should tax that, because actually whoever owns that land, owns that property, owns that location, they've not created that value. That value comes from everything that exists around them, whether it's good schools, good hospitals, road connections, a nice view even, whatever it is that gives value to that location. It's not something that has been produced by the person who owns it, and so you don't end up with bad incentives in the way that we do with income taxes. If you charge somebody a high income tax, they might choose to work less. But the value in location isn't something that the owner of that location has created themselves.
So I'm just trying, because it is 2 years ago since we did that work, isn't it?
Five years ago.
No wonder I don't remember that. Because I'm trying to remember, we calculated the amount of revenue that would be raised for the Welsh Government through, I want to call it a location tax now, not a land value tax.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that far off from what they were raising already. But the benefit from having such a tax would be that rebalancing within the country. So, that could be a good introduction. I'm sure we weren't that far off. Like, if you're raising the same amount of revenue, but it helps you to rebalance the country, then that's a pretty good tax system. It's
So this was a piece of work you did a few years ago. Is there any other? And it's worth saying with all of these that if you're going to meaningfully diverge, then that also means capacity and capability building of the Welsh Revenue Authority, isn't it, and institutions in Wales in order to collect those taxes and set those taxes effectively. So I guess that's another part of it, but it maybe leads to there's more ideological arguments around whether having that take place closer to communities in which taxes is collected is a good or bad thing, you know. So what are the other, you know, potential areas that new taxes could be brought in? Obviously, you've spoken about some of the more local taxes, land value tax. I know there's stuff that you are looking on day to day. What are the other kind of ideas that you haven't really heard proposed that you think are up in the discussion?
So I kind of thought you might come up with this kind of question. So I went and had a look at when those powers to introduce new taxes were first proposed. Mm-hmm. The Bevan Foundation came out with a report looking at, it's called Tax for Good, and they suggested, let me just quickly count, 8 different potential new taxes. In 2018, the Welsh Government came out with 4 potential new taxes that they were considering. So let's just run through this list and think about. So both of them identified a tourism levy.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, my expectation is that legislation for a tourist tax is going to be introduced to the Senedd before the end of this year. That's my understanding at the moment.
Yeah.
Now, whether we think that's a good thing or a bad thing, it's not going to be a big change in terms of the fiscal outlook for Wales.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's something like 24 million overnight stays in Wales each year, 26 million, mm-hmm. I think I've got here, in 2022. So, you know, if you're talking about a pound or two a night, even if every local authority implements that tax, mm-hmm. you're talking about maybe £50 million. It's not a game changer.
Yeah.
So there's then a number of other similar taxes here. So Bevan Foundation suggested a sugar tax, a sunbed tax, a takeaway packaging tax. Again, things that are probably more about trying to influence behaviour, change how we... change how we behave.
I guess that has savings on in regards to health spending, for example, as well. So it's kind of double-edged side of things.
So there might be some good. There might be some good policy reasons for implementing that, but they're not really. Mm. You know, there's no big fiscal impact.
Yeah.
One way or the other on those types of on those types of plans.
Yeah.
The disposable plastic tax was something that was one of the 4 taxes as well that the Welsh Government proposed to explore in 2018. Interesting to point out that the UK Government has now introduced a plastic packaging tax. They introduced it in April 2022 on manufacturing or importing of plastic packaging components. And obviously Welsh Government has moved on, rather than taxing various disposable plastics, just actually banning them. So again, these are, they're maybe interesting ideas, but from a fiscal point of view, they're maybe not as interesting.
Yeah. Fair summary of those.
Just wondering on that tourism tax, how much did you say it would raise?
Well, I would guess, you know, maybe at the most about £50 million a year across, you know, across all 22 local authorities. Now, my understanding is that it will be implemented, it will be a local tax. It will be implemented by local authorities. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're in Rhondda Cynon Taf, it's not a... not particularly a centre for tourism, so they probably won't get much revenue at all. Places like Conwy, Ynysmore and Pembrokeshire might, it might be a little bit more significant for them.
And that's what I'm thinking, you know, we're talking about at a national level, the number isn't that much, but at a local level, if the revenue raised was allowed to stay in the area to be reinvested in the infrastructure, then potentially could have an impact there.
Absolutely.
But the big question is, would it be allowed to stay locally?
Does it just go into one big national pot, you mean?
So, I have written a report again, working with Welsh Government and with one of my colleagues, Dr. Linda Ostey in Bangor, who's a senior lecturer in tourism. We've written a report for Welsh Government on how revenues should be spent. Now that report, I'm expecting to come out again before the end of the year when the legislation for the tourism tax goes to the Senate. And in that, we look at how revenues from tourism taxes in various destinations across Europe and North America are hypothecated for particular types of spending. Our recommendations are certainly that, you know, that local authorities, when they implement such a tax, they really need to think about the mechanisms by which those revenues are allocated to mitigating the externalities of tourism, but also to help increase the value added of the tourism that happens in Wales. Because at the moment, I think we all know that tourism in Wales doesn't really contribute the best jobs. So, could we use those revenues in order to improve the quality on offer, so that we do get more value added coming out of that sector? So I think there's really interesting questions around tourism tax and about these other small taxes that we were talking about. But again, from a Welsh fiscal perspective, they're not.
And to break apart, the terminology of hypothecation is that you ring fenced a certain tax for spending on a certain area, because I know that the IWA, for example, has highlighted arguments by others of, things like a social care levy, which is, obviously something that is a increasingly large cost burden on local authorities who are really, it's eating up more and more of their budgets, isn't it, alongside housing. So we've kind of spoken about that. There's not really a huge amount of alternatives. You've got these small tax ideas for taxation that is aimed at incentivizing or disincentivizing certain types of behavior that will have, a benefit, larger benefits in terms of the behavioral change they might engender, and then therefore they might end up saving what is burgeoning health costs. And if we look at, health and social services costs in Wales and the figures of where they're looking likely to go by the next 20 years, it's not looking particularly sustainable. So as you two both...
I'm just going to jump, because there was one other tax we didn't quite get to, one of the four that Welsh Government said it would explore back in 2018, and that was a social care levy, which has the potential to be a real game changer in terms of it would raise significant revenues and would allow very significant policy divergence from what's happening in England. So Gerry Holtham wrote a report for Welsh Government around social care levy. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I've seen, that's kind of, I've not seen much talk about that recently, but I think, it would be, I think it's important to note that people have been talking about, there's one example of something that would be quite significant in terms of the revenues that it would raise and the spending that would be available.
And that is particularly aligned to something that is a challenge for people delivering services as well, isn't it? So it's kind of solving a problem but also speaking to revenue raising. As you both work in tax policy, ideas for new taxation in Wales, what is your thoughts on, is there enough data and evidence around the tax base in Wales in order to guide your work in investigating where the future taxes, you know, may come from?
Simple answer, no.
Okay. I kind of expected the hard side. Yeah. I teed it up.
What we found with a lot of our work, it's a strange situation in that the modelling itself is fairly straightforward,
mm-hmm.
and the issue's been we're getting the data to perform the analysis. So if we think about the data, who has it? HMRC, ORS, Valuation Office,
yeah.
which it's very difficult to get data out of them to allow us to do proper assessments of the implications of these taxes and to develop what new taxes could we introduce.
Mm. So it's a kind of, it's a real difficulty for you then in terms of navigating tax data, and in that way it's a kind of speaks to a lot of different policy areas in Wales, isn't it, of trying to disaggregate data to what it means for Wales, but also within Wales, equally importantly, down to a small level, is it does hinder, you know, policy innovation, doesn't it, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you compare Wales to Scotland, Scotland have the Scottish records that collects, you know, lots of data. About the economy and about various aspects of you know. So they essentially it's their own land registry collects all kinds of data. Welsh government has continued throughout the period of devolution to rely on UK government agencies to do a lot of data collection work, and you know, maybe there are good arguments in favour of that in terms of economies of scale and so forth, but the problem comes that Welsh government doesn't then have any control over that data, and you know, Wales doesn't have any control over that data. So for example, local taxes in Wales, let's think about council tax, you know, a tax that goes to fund the services provided by local authorities in Wales, a tax that is collected by local authorities in Wales, a tax that is legislated for by the Senedd, you know, so this is a Welsh tax. UK government doesn't really have anything to do with this tax, apart from the legacy that it was originally introduced by them. But we rely on the Valuations Office agency to do the actual valuations, and all of that data is owned by the VOA, not by Welsh government, not by local authorities in Wales. And UK legislation sets out who they're allowed to share that data with, and it's very limited. There's very limited scope for the VOA to do that because of the nature of that legislation. People might, like me and Ed, get really annoyed by this because we just want the data to work with. But I can imagine as well that it's, you know, I imagine that people in Welsh government and people in local authorities up and down Wales, I mean, the VOA is allowed to share data with them to a certain extent, but even they don't have full control over this data, which is, you know, which seems like a really strange place for us to be.
I found it a bit interesting. I do think over the last maybe 2 years or a bit more recently, and talking to a lot of people about the challenges that they're having in this space, or just looking at the economy in general, and it's data that's becoming the issue. You know, so it's not, I don't think it's just me and Chris that are just banging our drums here. You know, the people we talk to seems to be data is the big challenge. The problem is, you know, from a Welsh government perspective, you know, investing in collecting this data, you know, would it fit well with what they're trying to do and sell to the electorate? I don't know. But you know, if we want to have serious debates about policy implications, then we need that data.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a chicken and egg, isn't it, in terms of saying, well, we need to have some ideas about what if we were to devolve further powers to Wales, we need an idea of what Welsh government would like to do with those powers, but yeah. without the ability to actually play with and examine what ideas would bring about the type of change that a future government would be looking to do, then you're pretty inhibited. Also, given that the financial picture over the long term, medium term, I guess, for both Wales and the UK is looking pretty bleak, yeah. I can see why politically you would think, I don't want to have to make any of these really difficult decisions, because as you say, even some of the ideas that have been mooted, you know, there's always losers as much as there are winners when you start playing with a tax system. And do politicians in Wales who are representative of in the Senedd, do they want to have that conversation, or do they want to have an arm's length conversation about that as part of a wider UK change? I can see why that is a difficult, you know, there's a toss-up really from the political side of things. Obviously you'd be looking at it and thinking politics shouldn't dictate how all of that, you know, because it needs to be a bit more of a public conversation. It has an evidence base in Wales and part of a conversation within Wales, but I can see why it's a constricting factor, which leads us on to, you know, we've got a Senedd election in 2026, which is coming rapidly, quickly, with an expanded Senedd that is going to look very different and enlarged. In terms of putting your betting caps on, what do you think are some of the conversations that you would like to see going into that Senedd election period in terms of taxation ahead of 2026? You know, what would you like the terms of the debate to be on? Not necessarily of what you particularly think should happen, but what would be a fruitful way of having a vibrant conversation around taxes in Wales?
I guess for me, I just want to see different ideas coming to the table. So as it happens, because I knew we were recording this afternoon, this morning I went back and reminded myself of a couple of blogs that I wrote for the IWA agenda before the 2021 election. And two terms that I used to describe the manifestos for that election were timidity and lack of detail. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, what I'd hope before 2026 is that we see a bit less timidity, that the parties decide, you know, to really be clear about their philosophy around public services and taxation. Mm-hmm. You know, I was reminded that back in 2016, the Conservative Party manifesto talked about reducing income tax by 2p in the pound once they got the opportunity to do that. By the time we got to 2021 and the powers actually existed, they'd rode back from that and they didn't make a clear commitment about lowering income tax.
And I guess at that UK, just to jump in terms of the UK 2024 general election we've just had, you know, you've had the Institute of Fiscal Studies saying that there's a conspiracy of silence over being clear about what tax policies all of the parties were standing on, essentially. So it's being a bit more clear.
Yeah, so yeah, and I think we all need to be clear in that. You know, Wales is a low tax economy. Mm-hmm. At the moment, the tax raised in Wales represents 37% of GDP. That compares to 39% across the UK as a whole. Mm-hmm. And if we compare that with, you know, countries across Europe, you know, certainly if we compare with Western Europe, you know, France, you know, much closer to 50%, much of Northern Europe, you know, the Scandinavian countries, again, much closer to 50%. Mm-hmm. For a country in Western Europe, we're a low tax economy.
Yeah.
Now, that's fine, mm-hmm. if that's what you believe in. Mm-hmm. But that does have implications for what we can spend on public services. And I think we need to be clear that we need to think of other ways of funding the NHS and social care if we only want to be spending, if we only want to be taxing 37% of GDP. The other option is that we want to have good public services, well funded, free at the point of use. You know, then we need to think about how we fund that through higher levels of taxation in Wales.
Yeah, so for that election, it is to have that honest debate about these taxes, but also, you know, of course we'd love the political parties to each be clear on their position mm-hmm. on these taxes, but there's a responsibility on the public as well to ask the politicians when they're looking for the votes, you know, what exactly are their positions when it comes to these things, because we are facing significant challenges in Wales. If we think about population, it's aging, they're going to be bigger pressure on the public purse, mm-hmm. you know, how are we going to finance them, and therefore we need to have that serious debate about taxes, what levels, who are we going to tax, how are we going to fund these things.
And I guess that's an honest conversation that takes into account the trade-offs of what specific policies would be, and also that kind of nuanced discussion about what, if you're floating the idea of devolution of further powers of taxation, an honest conversation about what the implications of that might be, both positive and negative, I think is definitely one that we at the IWA would like to see is an honest and nuanced conversation. Before I bring this to a close, is there anything else you want to highlight of work that is upcoming? Obviously you've got this tourism tax paper coming out at the end of the year, but anything else you want to share?
So I think probably the only other thing we want to talk about is something that it's not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm. But It's on its way.
Okay. So what we're trying to do, in order to try and enhance this debate and make it easier for people to think about tax and how we can vary taxes in Wales, is we're trying to develop an online tax tool.
Okay.
So if you go to the SENED website at the moment, they've got an income tax calculator that's based on the current settlement. So you can increase or decrease the base rate and the higher rate and the additional rate, yeah. And you can see what impacts that has on tax revenues.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do is to develop an enhanced version of that where we can ask questions, well, what would happen if we devolved further, if further powers were devolved around income tax so that we could vary thresholds?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll allow users to do a what if we had, say, the powers that Scotland has, mm-hmm. and we could increase the number of bands, what could that look like mm-hmm. in terms of revenues? But as well as income tax, there'll also be a tab that allows you to vary local taxes, make changes to council tax or NDRs, or to get rid of them and replace them with a property tax.
Okay.
And so we're trying to develop this in order to allow people with an interest,
yeah.
Particularly political parties, yeah. but also other people who have interest, to be able to think about tax policy, how we could vary things within the current powers, but also potential powers that might come after 2026, and to look at how those, you know, in a broad way would impact on the revenues that Welsh Government has available to spend. So I think, you know, if there's anybody listening today, we'd love to hear people's ideas about what should be in that tax calculator,
yeah.
Because we're, as I say, we're just developing it at the moment. We're hoping to have it up online by the end of the year.
Yeah,
so
amazing.
It's kind of, you know, 18 months out from the election to allow people to use it and get going with it.
Yeah, so that will be on the Bangor University website.
Yeah.
And it will be open to everybody. So if anybody's out there that has an interest in tax, they'll be able to log on, shift the dials and see what impact that has. Then, of course, hopefully the political parties elsewhere will have an interest. But yeah, it's just trying to get that debate going around this area. So hopefully we're doing our part.
Yeah, well, hopefully it sounds amazing. And I would love to fiddle around and see what outcome. And like you say, in terms of, it's a very timely thing to be promoting, really, isn't it? In terms of trying to get into the bloodstream of the debate ahead of 2026 and have some realism in terms of the conversations around tax and, you know, the costs and benefits of different approaches. So yeah, sounds amazing, and I look forward to seeing it. So thank you for both of your time, for sharing your expertise. It's been I feel like it's vital to have platform people such as yourselves in terms of trying to inform and make sure that people are given informed perspectives on taxation in Wales, in terms of ideas, in terms of greater comprehension of the tax system as it sits now, let alone what it looks like in the future. Because it's often, you know, I think people are quite scared of tax as a term and aren't really sure what it means, especially in a devolved system where powers and responsibilities are shared in quite complex ways. So thank you for expressing all of your different expertise. If you'd like to hear more about the IWA's Constitutional Futures Project, please check in with the IWA's Twitter account, which is @IWA_Wales. And if you'd like to hear more about the IWA's Constitutional Futures Project, just get in touch with us on our website. But without further ado, I'd just like to thank both of you for your time and your expertise once again. Thank you, Dior.
Thank you.